You know, God's been stirring my heart and this church's heart to think about youth. And for a long time, really, since the beginning, we've known that when the revival fully comes, it'll be youth revival. It always has been, always will be. That's where the life and energy is. And I was just really blessed seeing the band being so young. And Rebecca, you were absolutely brilliant this morning, this evening and evening, to see Faith leading that song. I was so anointed. Isn't God is just not limited by anyone, is he? I was six or five years old when I was so filled with the Holy Spirit in my bed. I thought I was floating in my bed. I've never, ever, after that, experienced joy like it in my life. When I was 5 years old, maybe six, that lifted me up from my bed, and I saw my life with God, and I wanted nothing else. And that planted a seed deep, deep in my heart. From that point, I knew something. I knew God. I knew the Holy Spirit. I knew his plan. I knew it was good. And it's out of this world what God's like. That kept me for him, actually. Through school, through many things. This world devours the youth and the young culture. There's been many cultures from Satan, actually, to devour the young people. There's been kind of a hippie culture that came a couple of decades ago, which actually devoured the young people. And it wasn't all godly at all. And different cultures have been coming to devour the young people. Punk rock culture and the heavy metal culture, and then this ghetto or emo culture where they're all in dark chains and spikes, and it's going all over the world, isn't it? And youth get just into it. And they're cutting themselves, and the enemy's just been bombarding his culture with the youth to capture them before they ever begin. And I know that our mighty Jesus, the great lion, is going to roar over these cultures and change this. I believe this Sunday night is going to be part of it, of many young people coming to find safe haven here, hiding place from the world, and be healed and delivered, be set free. Kept from the world, it's been my vision for the youth. Saved from this world, kept from the world for Jesus. Often we think we need to have a testimony of the world to have a testimony. If I don't have a testimony because I've been a Christian all my life, that is just rubbish. You don't want that testimony. My testimony is, I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 5 years old because my dad and mom worshipped the Lord on the night, and they filled me as a child. The Lord kept me all the years of school. Oh yes, I was troubled by Satan, and I was sinning all over. I was a hooligan. I was burning things down outside. I was breaking windows, but God kept me for him. I was struggling with sin in my teenage years, massively lustful, as boys are, struggling with all sorts, but God kept me for him. He kept me in church. He kept me together. He protected me. And that's a testimony we want for anyone. On the other hand, no matter how far you've gone in the world, God can bring you back and save you. And we believe there's so many young people around here, if you look in the streets, just bored. Just bored. I was walking to meet Andy in Costa the other day, and just two little kids sat on the pavement near the cinema in a boring little empty stone corner. And they just asked me for a fag. And I just looked at them and laughed and thought, "Are you bored?" They said, "Yeah." I thought, "So am I." Nothing's happening in life. I thought, "Yeah, they're just bored." But I believe Jesus is going to roar over them. He's roaring in us. And I'm hoping to believe in to start a youth outreach by the grace of God, one way or another. So thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're the mighty Lion of Judah. Thank you, Jesus. You got power, Lord Jesus, to set us on fire for you. Thank you, Jesus. The young people can be very on fire. Thank you for Olivia last week, Lord, singing her song. It's awesome and powerful. Thank you, Jesus, for the young and for the old, Lord. Thank you that you bring both together, Lord Jesus, in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. So praise, worshiping God. We've been doing it all night. And the name Judah, the 12 tribes of Israel, getting exciting now, isn't it? Just see you all going, woo, let's... So the 12 tribes of Israel is how the nation began, God's nation, his story began. And Jacob had them 12 sons. And he named them all. And actually, it's funny, because in Revelation, the Revelation is the last book in the Bible, that John has visions about the end times, and visions about heaven, and visions about the beasts and the great events of time. But in it, he sees the heavenly Jerusalem, which is heaven, where we're all going to go, this heavenly city. And there's 12 gates in the city to go in. And for some fun reason, there's 12 gates have the 12 tribes of Israel names on them. Three on each side, four sides. So those names mean something. And as Jacob was dying, he was prophesying over his sons in Genesis 49. He was prophesying for every son. And they quite kind of go together with the names and the meanings. But exciting what he said to Judah. I'm just going to read you that bit because it's going to be important. I don't know why I'm in numbers. thank you, Lord. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. That's Jesus, by the way. All your relatives will bow down before you. Judah, my son, is a lion. He has finished eating its prey. The prey is the bad youth culture, by the way. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs. That's Jesus, by the way. The one whom all nations will honor. That's Jesus, by the way. He ties his foal to a grapevine, the colt of his donkey to a choice wine. He washes his clothes in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. Do you know that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah? As did David. And there's a prophecy that Jacob has. As he prays for his son, he sees way down the line, ooh, the scepter, the ruling staff will never depart your generation till the one to whom he belongs comes, which is Jesus. He did come. He washes his robes in the blood of grapes. He saw somebody stained red and somebody with an awesome face with teeth whiter than snow and eyes deeper than wine. Jesus. So we're talking about praise. His name was praise. And your brothers will praise him because of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm quickly going to read you another scripture. Please bear with me. It will get better in the end. Which is from Romans, which is right after Acts, which is the New Testament. It's Romans 12. So bear that in mind about Jesus, and we'll come back to that in a minute. And this is how we worship God. This is about how we worship God now. Romans 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is Romans pleading out to this crowd. First of all, he says about our bodies, to give our bodies to God. And I just want to remind you what Jesus did with his body. You know, he was the heart of worship. No one has worshipped God like he did, like Jesus did. When he gave his life on the cross, that moment when he gave his body, it was a perfect body, never spoiled by sin, never spoiled sexually at all, untouched, pure. None of us have been spared from that. I believe no human escapes that experience of sexual shame in their life, of making a mistake and being used in the wrong way, and your body gets stained by it. Jesus' body wasn't like that. There's a moment where Jesus meets somebody who's totally opposite, a prostitute woman. I was sharing this morning, but most of you weren't there, so you get this again. And this prostitute was kicked to Jesus by the Pharisees because they were trying to trap him who loves sinners. Let's see if he's going to obey the law of Moses and kill the sinner, like the law of Moses said. And they kicked him to Jesus. And this woman had only ever seen one kind of man, lustful, greedy, the kind of men that are going to abuse her. That was his idea and belief of men and the world, probably, and herself. Totally used her body the wrong way all the time. Prostitute. Meets Jesus. And the first time in his life, he's kicked to Jesus. Falls at his feet and looks into his eyes. And he's never seen eyes like that. The sinless eyes of Jesus. And something happens in her. He's captivated by it. And suddenly she knows what her life is actually like. It's only when we come to Jesus that we can experience truth about ourselves, truth about him, and a chance to be delivered. And you experience Jesus, whose body is totally opposite, unruined. And then Jesus says to everyone, the first one here without sin, be the first one to throw a stone on this woman. And no one does it, and they all walk away. And Jesus asks, has no one condemned you? She says, no, no one has. Jesus says, neither will I condemn you. She was forgiven by Jesus. And by that time on, she was following Jesus' life. She was worshiping Jesus with her body then. So we can't worship Jesus with our bodies unless we realize what Jesus' body was like. Otherwise, it's just like a command. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't have a tattoo on your bum. Or don't do this. Don't sleep before marriage. Honor God, which is all right and correct. But you never do it with a heart unless you experience and encounter Jesus' purity, how he kept himself totally pure. Handsome, good-looking man. He could have even had a righteous family, but he never even did that because he was keeping himself. It says in Isaiah, he was cut short in midstream and never had descendants. Could have had a wife. No, he kept his body for a different wife, which was the cross. He was a virgin, keeping himself for the cross, totally pure, so that when he gives himself for us, it'll be perfect, unspoiled, so that our bodies could experience not being full of shame. Getting rid of shame is one of the biggest experiences you can have. The shame lifted off you, because we're all spoiled. You can live in the dark and never realize it. You know, when you get dressed in your dark bedroom, I've done that. You look in the mirror and you think, oh, my clothes are all right. And then you go outside in the sun and you go get to the meeting you're going to and realize you've got spots all over. Flip it, heck. You've got a hole there and a rip there and looked all right in my bedroom with the curtains on. You can live like that and think you're all right. When you encounter Jesus and you're like, flipping heck, look at my clothes. I hope no one sees me. I hope no one sees me in these clothes. But you know what? Tonight you can come to him just in those clothes. So that prostitute did. And what he will do is incredible. He will lift his clothes off you. Like it says in Zechariah, the high priest Joshua was standing before God with filthy clothes on and the devil accusing him. And the Lord said, I renounce your accusations, the devil, because this man is saved from the fire. Take off his dirty clothes and put him nice clean clothes on. That's what he will do for you if you come to him tonight. If you have any stain in your life, you just feel in your heart right now pounding. Joel had a picture before when we were praying about a copper coin that's dirty and been used and dropped by how many thousands of people, I don't know. But if you put it in a coke overnight, it's sparkly, shiny in the morning. Maybe you've treated yourself like a copper coin, or have you been treated like a copper coin with your body? Haven't cared for it? Have people you don't even know use it. Or many people use it. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you let yourself be abused. Maybe you abused yourself. But it doesn't matter. Because when you come to Jesus, you put it in cork. The acid gets to it. Because he paid it on the cross for it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, brother. Take it home.
Good evening, everyone. Who wants to be more like Jesus tonight? Isn't Jesus the best thing that we could ever aim our lives to be? Jesus should be the center of our worship, should be the center of everything we do. You know, Paul says in this scripture from Romans that Carl read to you, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind, just like our body, is part of worship. How can we worship God with our mind as well as our body? I wonder if you worship God with your mind as well as your body. I know I don't always. You know, the first 27 years of my life were not like Carl and Becca. I was not close to God at all. I was miles away from God. My testimony is very different, actually. Maybe it's like some of you in here. I didn't know God. I didn't care about God. I didn't even think about God. God had no place in my mind at all. I was totally conformed to the world, to what the world had to give. I started to be conformed into drinking heavily every weekend because that's what everyone else does. Going out and drinking heavily on a weekend is our British culture, isn't it? I was conformed into that culture, conformed into taking drugs, recreational drugs, party drugs, just because I was conforming. I wonder if there's any way that you're conforming to God. Maybe it's something different. I've conformed in other ways to the world. Other ways like watching TV endlessly. You know, my wife and I, we were TV addicts before we met Jesus. Telly addicts. We used to watch at least 2 or 3 hours a night of TV. Not because it was good, but just because we're addicted to it. Not because we were watching anything that was good for our minds, but because we were addicted to it. Because we were conforming to the pattern of this world. But Paul says, do not conform. Do not be conformed any longer. Because if we conform, then we're never going to make a difference in the world, actually. You and I are called to be different, to be set apart. Jesus has called you. If you're in this room right now, you've been called by God to make a difference to the world. And it's never going to be possible if all we do is just conform to what the world's like. No, we need to be different. Let me tell you about someone who was different. Jesus. Jesus didn't conform to the world in any way, did he? Jesus decided to go his own way, a way that he was called to go, different from anyone else who'd ever lived, anyone else who's going to live, actually. As Carl said, Jesus, the only sinless man who's ever lived. I want to be more like Jesus because my life has not been good for God. Most of my life I've not lived for God. Can try and make up for it, try and be a better person, try and get some self-help, but actually none of it works without Jesus being in there. You know, there's been many famous Christians who've decided to go against the grain of the world. One of my heroes is a man called William Wilberforce. Maybe you've heard of him. Let me read you a little bit about William Wilberforce, just a quick little insight into his life. William Wilberforce was 27 when he sensed God's call to fight against the inhumane, degrading slave trade. 10 million slaves left Africa for the plantations in 1787. And in 1789, William Wilberforce put down a motion in the House of Commons concerning the slave trade. It wasn't a popular cause, it says. But he said in his speech, "So enormous, so dreadful did its wickedness appear in my mind. My mind was completely made up for abolition. Let the consequences be what they would. I from that time determined I would never rest until I had effected its abolition." So William Wilberforce decided he was going to devote his life to the abolition of slavery. The bills about the abolition of slavery were debated in Parliament for years and years and years. 1789, 1791, 1792, 1794, 1796, 1799, and they all failed. It looked like he wasn't going to get there. 32 years later, in 1831, he sent a message to the Anti-Slavery Society, and he said, "Our motto must be perseverance, and ultimately I trust the Almighty will crown our efforts with success." And you know, in July 1833, the Abolition of Slavery Bill was passed. And 3 days later, William Wilberforce went to be with the Lord, devoted his whole life, 45 years, to a cause that God had given him. He decided, didn't he, to go against what the world was doing. The Western world was making money out of slavery. You know, the cities around here, cities like Liverpool, for example, are built on the slave trade. You know that? The money from slavery built those cities. If it wasn't for someone like William Wilberforce, it wasn't for him, God choosing him out of the world, maybe things would be different now. I wonder what God's calling you to do for him. You know, Paul also says here, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I wonder if you know what God's will is for your life. I wonder if your will is tuned to God. You know, we can give our bodies to God, give our minds to God. We can also give God our action. You know, faith really plays out itself in action. William Wilberforce decided to act upon what God called him to do. But so many Christians don't, sadly. Why don't they? Because we're scared. Scared of the world, scared of what people will think. Scared of what next door will say. Why don't I go to my neighbor next door and tell him about Jesus? Well, it's because I'm scared. Are we so conformed to the world, so deceived by the enemy, that we no longer want to do what God's called us to do? What Carl's vision is to do is to go and see those youth in Winnebanks saved. And in here, we want this place to be full with hundreds of young people. It starts with us, doesn't it? Our true and proper worship is giving our body, giving our mind, and giving our will, our action, to God. You know, the world is in a lost place. Paul writes elsewhere in the Bible, in Galatians. I know we're sharing a lot of the Bible with you. I hope you don't mind. But it's just so awesome. Paul says this. He gives a few lists of things that are going on in the world at his time. Let me read you one of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Sounds like a night out in Middlesbrough to me. Doesn't it you? Could this not just be now that he's talking about? It could be, couldn't it? And it is. Things haven't really changed since then. All these things still happen. Paul goes on to say, "I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." I don't know about you, but I look at some of those things in that list and I see myself. I see myself in some of those things. And it's important to me, and I realize now, the importance of repenting. You know, that word repent means to just change direction, to turn from those things. And we can do that daily as Christians. If we're going to be effective at changing the world from what it's like now and making it the kingdom of God, then we need to repent, don't we? I wonder if you have anything in your life that is not going in the direction of Jesus, that is not going in the direction that God wants you to go in. Maybe you've never met Jesus. Maybe you don't know what he's like. Well, I'll tell you, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. The only thing worth talking about in this world is my relationship with Jesus. And I hope it is for you. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you don't know Jesus, maybe you've been coming to church for a while, but don't know Jesus personally for yourself. I want to tell you, it's only when you don't conform anymore to the world, only when you allow the Holy Spirit to renew and transform your mind, then you can get control of your body. You know that your body is in under the control of your mind, don't you? It's no use trying to give your body to God if your mind is elsewhere. You know, the reason Stacey and I gave up TV was because we were watching so much rubbish. We were watching the news, and it was all negative, and it was always the same. It was always like that list. People doing bad things to each other, hurting each other. So we decided, oh, we're not going to bother watching it anymore. It's quite a hard decision. God moved us to do it, though, to decide, oh, I'm not going to watch Sky TV anymore. I'm not saying you have to do this, but this is just for us. But I tell you, when we got rid of that, the difference in what our mind was consumed with was amazing. The difference in what we thought about. Desire came upon us to start to pray more. We realized that we just sat in front of the TV hour after hour, night after night, and then thought, oh, we're too tired to pray or read our Bible, we'll just go to bed. That's terrible, isn't it? That's not a mind that's focused on Jesus, is it? That's a mind that's focused on the world. But I tell you, if you're willing to give something up for Jesus tonight, he sees that. That's true and proper worship, I tell you. I want to encourage you tonight to leave whatever you came in with that you're not happy with, that is preventing you from going further with God and being used by God maybe. I want to encourage you to leave it here on the floor, where it belongs. Yeah. Here on the floor, where it belongs. Okay, do you want to share now? Come on.
So I really encourage you tonight to come forward. Sometimes we do it if you just would like to, but I would really encourage you to do it tonight. Because I think it's a breaking point for many of us. I think it's a breaking point for the services. And if you want to be used by God in what's coming, it's always good to come and purify yourself before him. Like we said, true and proper worship. If there was anything in your body you want to get rid of, a guilt or a shame or experience in your mind, I'd like to pray for you, guys for guys and girls, women for women, just to get rid of that and let Jesus wash you, who gave his perfect body for you. Any bit of sexual shame you had in your life, or maybe you're having right now and you want to turn from, I just encourage you to do it. It's really important for all this. And if you want to be involved in this youth outreach and involved in what God's going to do, if you want to be used by him, all the same, come forward tonight to receive. We'll pray for you, put our hands on you. You know, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit as a little kid, what naturally happened was all my neighbor friends' kids were in church. How this happened was a mystery to me. But what I've heard from my mom is he's washing his dishes, and one moment he sees me on the front steps just preaching to little kids a little sermon I've picked up on the telly or something, just mimicking some preacher. I don't remember any of this, but the Holy Spirit set me on fire. Something happened in me. And then all of this, the courage to share Jesus to your friends is so important. It changes your life. The Holy Spirit helped me never to be ashamed to share Jesus in school. One point or another, I got the courage to tell them I'm a Christian or to tell someone about Jesus. And my wife got saved that way. In the end, she was my classmate. So it's really important to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to have a brave courage to share people about Jesus, to share the young people about Jesus. So you want to use it in this youth revival, youth outreach. Come forward, and if you want to be touched by God and get healed from anything.
Praise the Lord. Why don't we all stand to our feet, and we'll just stick a little bit of music on and just make this a little bit easier for some of you if you're struggling to do this. Yes, so let's focus on the Lord then. You know, God's massively speaking to us tonight about our bodies, isn't he? Giving our bodies to him. It's our true act of worship, actually. You know, we show this little video at the beginning. Obviously, it's just a joke, you know. How to worship just by doing this or doing the TV. It's just a joke, isn't it, you know? And sometimes, you know, and I've been through times like this in my life in the past where I've come to church and I've had my hands in the air and I've been worshipping, doing all the right things, but then go back home, not live their life whatsoever. And maybe that's you, you know, maybe, you know, you need to come forward just to say to God, you know, I just want to recommit my body to you. I want to recommit my life to you. If that's you, just come forward now and just recommit that. Your life to Jesus, recommit your body to Jesus if that's you. We're not going to rush. It's an important moment for some people. It's not necessarily, if you need to get saved tonight, then you come forward and get saved by Jesus. But if you just need to come forward and just to recommit to God, recommit your mind, recommit your body, then do that. You know, someone who's already fully washed only needs to wash the feet. Maybe that's you. And we'll just wait and just give a few moments of opportunity for you. Because I believe there's quite a few people that the Lord wants to touch tonight and encounter. And there's absolutely no pressure whatsoever from me. If nobody comes forward, it makes absolutely zero difference to me whatsoever. I just want you to meet with Jesus. It's interesting, you know, when Jesus went to the rich man, and he was asking him, what must I do to be saved? And he was saying, basically, just give up everything. What must I do to inherit the kingdom? What must I do to inherit the kingdom, Jesus? Sell everything, and then come follow me. Oh, and Jesus left, just walked off, you know. And if he wanted to come after Jesus, if he wanted to come to Jesus, he could have came. But apparently, sadly, he didn't. And you have the opportunity now to come to Jesus. You come into the front, you're not coming to me or anything. You're coming to Jesus to meet with him, to encounter him. And if some people can begin to pray for these awesome people at the front, that'll be fantastic. And minister to them, you know. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. We have nothing but what you want to do for us tonight, Lord. And I just pray in the name of Jesus, you begin to minister deeply to people now. You begin to touch people, Lord, that they would encounter you in an amazingly powerful, deep, real, authentic way. Thank you, Father. I pray for each and every young person at the front here that they would experience and receive what Carl was talking about when he was set on fire, when he just encountered with God, and it just kept him through all the walks of his life. Whatever he was going to go through in school or college and his young years, or even as an adult, you know, whatever you're going to go through in this or that, whatever you've been through, you know, to be kept by God, be kept by Jesus, sometimes all we need. And, you know, maybe you feel a bit discouraged sometimes and you see people and it looks like they're doing fantastic with God. It looks like they're doing wonderful things for God. You think their lives must be awesome. You think their families and their marriage and everything must be working perfectly. And that's, you know, what you see, but it's not the truth. But maybe because you see that, you feel worse about yourself. You feel bad. You feel like God can't use you, that he won't use you, that you're too messed up, that you're too far gone. If that's you, you know, come and be encouraged. Come and get prayer. Because God wants to absolutely use each and every one of us, just like that little coin that was dirty. And when it's been washed, it's totally crystal clear, clean and brand spanking new. And you can keep coming forward as you need. Or if you need to get a brew there at the back, then we'll, you know, go into some time where we have some fellowship. But if you need prayer, please come and meet with God and be blessed. Amen.